All right, so we're going to go and get started. Make sure our clicker works. Excellent. My name is Tony Sanchez. I'm with Citrix Systems. My role at Citrix is a strategic alliance architect, so a lot of the stuff I do, I work with our key partners, HP, Dell, NetApp, the list goes on and on and on. And I primarily focus on scalability for Zen Desktop on Hyper-V as well as Zen App on Hyper-V. So I've got a lot of my contact information here at the bottom. Email addresses, Twitter. So if you are big into Twitter, you like getting updates, I highly recommend following you because I don't really do a whole heck of a lot of blogging, but I do have some. But most of all the stuff I usually announce via Twitter before I even go to blogging. So if you're into scalability, you want to know what's the latest, how does Hyper-V scale, I've got another session coming up on Thursday, which is more scalability. But in this particular session, we're going to focus more on about the app delivery stack and what's new in Zen Desktop 7. By a show of hands, I probably bet there's only a few. Who was at Synergy last week? Wow. That's amazing, man. Hardcore people coming to two shows in 2 weeks. Okay, so for those of you that were at Synergy, there are a few slides I have that are slightly marketing, but just a few, maybe about three or four tops. Everything else is going to be about DNA and the designs that we have that are available in Zen Desktop 7 that you can use today, or I should say soon, this quarter, when Zen Desktop 7 comes out to market. A lot of the stuff I have is very heavy into demos. So I do have a lot of slides, but I also do have a lot of demos. So provided that the demo gods are with me today, I'll do as many demos as I can. At the very end, we'll do a review for Q&A. And we also have something that is RPS for SSD. So if you know what RPS stands for, tell me at the end. And you can come up front, and you can actually win a solid-state disk. So it'll be kind of fun. I think you guys will like it. So these are the only marketing slides I have, only three. Promise we're going to keep it 300 level and above. But for some of you that are new to Zen Desktop or still new to Hyper-V in terms of what it does for VDI and how Citrix and Microsoft integrate, it's a good idea to kind of give you a little quick intro before we go deep dive into some of the stuff. So whether it's Zen App, Zen Desktop, it doesn't matter to us because we can integrate on the hypervisor stack, specifically in Hyper-V, just like we could on our own Zen Server, vSphere. It doesn't matter. But in terms of best scalability and best performance, and working with a market leader like Microsoft, the scalability numbers that I've tested on for Zen Desktop, whether it's 5.6, version 7, and so forth, are pretty phenomenal. So that's something I'll go in Thursday. But the integration we have as a whole, from the app stack to the virtualization stack, all the way to the hypervisor, and even into System Center, is unbelievable. There's no other ISV on planet Earth that integrates more with Microsoft at all these various levels than Citrix. So a little bit of history, one of the other marketing slides I have. By curiosity, for those that have been using Citrix for a long time, this is something I'd like to ask. Who knows what the original name of Citrix, the company, was before it was Citrix? Guy way, way far in the back, holding your hand up. You might have to scream a little bit because you're all the way in the back. What do you think the name of the company was?
Citrix.
Absolutely. So it's one of those common things that we know as being Citrix or Citrix employees, but a lot of people didn't know. So with that, back in the early, late 80s, this is kind of how we were founded, how we started. As you can see as we go through the slide, a lot of innovation, tons of product integration between Citrix and Microsoft has happened over the last 20-plus years of being an ISV. That's longer than most marriages last in Hollywood, so that's pretty impressive. If you look through here, we've been named ISV of the Year, Global Infrastructure Partner of the Year, all these things that make it really important for a customer to figure out, if I want to deploy thousands of desktops, I want to manage it with System Center. I want to get the best user experience for administrators and for my end users. There's really only one choice for that. So as we get further into the slide, you'll see in 2012, last year in October at Synergy Barcelona, we announced Excalibur. We also made an announcement just recently in our last Synergy when we're going to come out with Zen Desktop 7, which is the new name for that project, which is due out this quarter. So effectively, what does Zen Desktop 7 give us? So those of you that are Citrix administrators, been working with Zen App for a long time, or even Zen Desktop for the past few years, one of the things we've always heard, and having been a Zen App administrator myself many years before I joined Citrix, it's kind of a pain. There's a lot of consoles. It doesn't make my job easier when I have to bounce from A to B to C to do my job. But what's great is we're able to take a lot of the basic things of Zen Desktop and combine them into a single console. And that gives us, or leads us to where we are now. So Zen Desktop 7 definitely provides the best administrative experience by simplifying a lot of the day-to-day stuff for mobility, for security, and so forth, all within a single console called Studio. So a little bit of overview for those of you that are not super familiar with Zen Desktop. Today, in terms of how things are with Zen Desktop 5.6, it's very much a distributed architecture. You can see here on the left-hand side, or on your right-hand side, we have the color orange. We have all the different various consoles. Just pain in the butt, quite honestly. A lot of day-to-day administration that just really made things difficult for a lot of people. But it was very workable and very scalable. So you can see we still have all a variety of things. You have the controller who's responsible for delivering the desktops to the users. You have your OS workers. You have a provisioning server or services which is responsible for dishing out those particular desktops on the hypervisor. And of course, on the right, you can see in Zen Desktop 5.6, we started something called FMA, which was the next generation of IMA, for those that know Zenapp, which is Flexcast Management Architecture. So the whole idea was this, to introduce the concept of workers and the support for different various server operating systems for virtual desktops. With all that in mind, over years and years of building products, it kind of got us to where we are now and the goal of Zen Desktop 7, which is unification, and being able to take a single set of console or consoles in some scenarios and be able to merge them to make them easier for an administrator to build or to design, build, and deploy apps, desktops across the world. So here it's a little bit different. You can see we still have Director and we still have a Studio, but what's real nice is that they share a common SQL database. For Zen Desktop 5.6, Zenapp 6.5, it was all independent. There was no way you could share a SQL database between the two architectures. Completely different. With version 7, it's made a lot more simpler, so you can basically deploy desktops and apps with one single SQL database. At the very bottom, you can see something called OS Workers. We'll get a little bit further into that in the next section. But that's where we can deploy what's called a VDA, or the Virtual Delivery Agent. And that's what makes the connection from the broker, or the desktop controller, to those desktops, whether they're server or whether they're client. Some of the basic release simplifications here are things that are specific with Zen Desktop 7. So a lot of the new things we'll hopefully show in the demo if I can get to it. You can see we have single solution for RDS VDI apps, so whether you're delivering client, server desktops, not a problem. We can cover that in Zen Desktop 7. The wizards are a lot better. Having worked with this product since version 2.0 of Zen Desktop, I've seen a lot of integration, a lot of improvement over the 4 years specifically. So a lot of stuff in terms of security, delegated logging, delegated administration, it's pretty much all there in Zen Desktop 7. As far as preference data and applications in the OS, that's even better because now we actually take a lot of the things that were separate UIs, whether it's profile management, whether it's storefront, and we also integrate that right into the Studio console, which you'll see later on in the demonstration. And then next generation platform. So everyone here has heard about Windows 8 Blue. Of course, Citrix has a plan. We're working on when we're going to support that as well with Microsoft. But currently, we do support Windows 8 and Windows Server 2012 as well as System Center 2012 SP1 and SQL 2012. So if that's part of your infrastructure, not a problem because Zen Desktop 7 can support that. But once you built all the architecture, you still have to be able to monitor it. And that's really where the new functions of Zen Desktop 7 really shine just over all of our competitors because of delegated logging and administration we can get for modern user experience, whether it's user login time, profile time, ICA statistics in terms of round trip, latency between the login process. That data is captured and available inside what's called HDX Insight. So you'll see a lot of that stuff. If you're already a Zen Desktop customer, you can download Zen Desktop 7 once it comes out. The current version is still Tech Preview 2 from last October, so a lot of the stuff I'm showing you today, you probably have not seen unless you were at Synergy a few weeks ago. So let's go over the architecture real quick. There's controllers and workers, and the reason why I like to bring this up is because some people get confused when they're new to VDI, they're new to specifically version 7. Controllers, basically, if you think about that, is that person who's up in the control tower dictating where planes go, where do they land, which runway do you go to? Do you start on this one? Do you land on this one? That's the whole function of a controller. That's his whole job in life. Now, he creates policies, and he can also do a lot of stuff in terms of disabling drive mappings, printing, multimedia redirection, all the things also apply. But what's cool about him is that he also supports Windows Server 2012. In the previous version of Zen Desktop 5.6, we only supported Windows 2008 and 2008 R2. So as far as workers, it's a little bit different. Workers also can be a mix of both client and server operating systems. So if you see the picture on my left, your right, which is that big Boeing plane, think of that as your Zenapp server. That's your one-to-many relationship, where that server can handle the most amount of user load because he can do RDS loads all day long. So it's a one-to-many, hundreds of users logging onto a Zenapp, whereas the fighter planes on the right, those are more client, Windows 7, Windows 8, you know, one-to-one sort of scenarios, where that's that personal, private VDI. Now, both the workers can run, like I said, on Windows 7, 8, 2008 R2, and 2012. So you can design that sort of scenario in either way. In terms of the infrastructure, you can see what we have here. Some people kind of look at this like, wow, there's a lot of different ways you can do this. It's kind of complicated. Not really, because there's no single environment in the world that's easy. A lot of people say, well, gosh, you know, why is Microsoft licensing so complicated? I've heard that time and time before, because every enterprise is complicated. I've never met a single enterprise that's simple. Therefore, they make their licensing complicated to help enterprises have the ability to pick and choose what they need. So from our perspective, we have a lot of different designs. You can create your particular catalogs, which focus on operating system, sort of like an OU perspective, where we'll group a particular OS, like Windows XP, in a catalog. And that catalog's only going to house maybe Office 2007. Maybe it's an old school set of machines you need to get to for whatever reason, but the catalog helps you organize them based on the operating system. And you kind of follow that logic down the path. So you can do it for Windows 7, 2012, 2008, and so forth. Now, those catalogs can also be a variety of things. They can be personal desktops. They can be pooled. They can be Windows 2008, 2012, shared. The choices are pretty much almost infinite, because you can keep picking and choosing how you want to design that architecture and mix and merge those applications on demand. So Studio is the main console, and that's what allows us to basically be the artist of designing what we want to do for building desktops, building applications. Now, all this stuff is pretty much similar to 5.6, except we called it Zen Desktop Studio before, or now it's just Studio because we can do apps and desktops. So let's go ahead and we'll go into our first demo. Bear with me a second while we switch over. Can everybody see okay? All right. So what you'll see here is a console for me. So this is one of the latest builds we have. Now, again, keep in mind what I'm showing you here is still code that's in development. Things may change. Things may be a little bit different. We may change the color from pink to green and maybe fuchsia the next week. I don't know. That's how developers work, and that's sort of the things that happen. So things may change between this and the final release of our code. So you can see here, like I mentioned, we have different catalogs. I have client catalogs up here on the top. Let this refresh. And the catalog is going to have all the different operating systems, kind of like OUs of collections of different workloads I want to create. They could be workloads for Office. They could be workloads for CAD. I don't know if you saw last week, there's a keynote that we did where we announced a huge, huge thing with NVIDIA with virtual GPU pass-through. That is just wicked on what you can do with a virtual GPU for delivering CAD applications. If that fits your bill, Zen Desktop 7 is the way to go, because we support that operating system of Windows Server 2012 and publishing on Windows 8 as well. So let's go ahead and let's create a new group, just to show you how simple it is. Now, I've already done some of my cooking ahead of time and provisioned my machines, so I've got a Windows 8 pool that I can go ahead and select from. I'm just going to increment by a couple just to keep it nice and simple. Now, here's what's really cool. This could be, for all intents and purposes, Windows 8. It could have been Server 2012. Doesn't matter. You pick and choose. What's nice is I can select what is it that I want to deliver. Desktops all day long? Fine. Go to town. Do I want to deliver apps inside those desktops? Perfect. I can actually punch holes to run a VM-hosted app, which is just a single connection to an application that runs on a Windows client, Windows 7 or 8 operating system. Or maybe I want to do desktops and applications. All different ways you can design based upon what your requirement is for your end users. So in this case, we'll just keep it simple. We'll choose desktops. I'll go through Query Active Directory, and I'm going to go ahead and assign my user to it, and then click Next. Now here, remember I mentioned earlier there was these console integrations with Zen Desktop 7. Studio is one of those things. It's still separate if you want it to be, but by default, it's integrated right inside Studio. I already have my storefront URL. And the storefront is our new release, our new version of user access, sort of like a portal or a method in which users can get access to their desktops and apps. Select one that I've pre-configured, and then we'll just go through and give this a name. And then we'll click Finish. Now, at this part, my group's being created. I'm talking to the controller. I already have these VMs provisioned on Hyper-V. It's going to go through the process of talking to VMM. VMM's going to do this check and balance. He's going to say, OK, great. Do I have these VMs already ready? Are they in a state where I can power them up? Boom. Go ahead and power the VMs up. Give them a few minutes to power up. They're going to go through, do a variety of boots. Whether I'm using provisioning servers, I can do Pixy. Whether I'm using MCS, I can do just straight disk-based booting, kind of like a HD boot, so to speak. So either way, doesn't matter to us. We can support either one of those designs. So at this point, that group's created, and that's pretty much it. I've already created some Windows 8 desktops just by already doing some of my homework. Now, there are prerequisites, some other steps, but just in the interest of time, I wanted to make sure you could see, once I had the basics done, how simple it was for me to publish desktops to a set of users. Now, once that's publishing, I'm going to go ahead and hopefully switch over to Video 3. Now, this is a new version of Citrix Receiver for the iPad. So hopefully everything works here. Got my fingers crossed. We're going to go ahead and log in here, and let's see what happens. Now, the UI is a little bit different, but what's really, really cool about this is if you're an organization that you follow BYOD, whether you're using iPads, whether you're using Surface RT, whatever that may be, there's a receiver for either one of those. But what's really super cool about this is that if this connects successfully, we can actually integrate touch into Windows 8 straight from the Citrix receiver that's running here on my Windows 8 VM, but actually here through my iPad. So you can see here, we actually have this cool little thing. Now, again, this is a beta product. This may change. Things may change in terms of the UI of how this looks. But I actually have a start menu modified just easy for the receiver for this. So I can just go ahead and make it simple for my users if I choose to go that route for them to go ahead and navigate through Windows 8. Or I can swipe from right to left. Let's get that out of the way. And I have charms. So charms menu pop up. I've got full touch interaction. I can go right to my desktop. And let's see what it looks like via HDX. That is if I can get internet access. Good. Perfect. Now, the network may be a tiny bit slow, but we're going to go ahead and give this a shot anyway. Be a little bit risky. So, now that's the iPad. The amount of coding that went into delivering an HDX quality Windows experience, but yet on the iPad, was pretty difficult by our development team. And that was a big task for them, because they want to make sure we can embrace not just the primary Windows devices, but of course, from the iPad side as well. So all of that is running. Again, that's over the web. We're streaming that from wherever we have Citrix.com hosted at, all the way here to my virtual desktop. Pretty cool? So that's impressive. So when you're even doing that, if you go back and you watch that keynote at Citrix.com, you'll see that section where we talk about the NVIDIA GPU pass-through functionality that's applicable for Zen Server. What was really neat about that is actually Brad Peterson was actually taking those designs and animating them, rotating them. And I was actually backstage building a lot of that stuff with a lot of the teams back there. So it was just impressive on how we built that design and how they could get something so complicated as CAD. Because there's no person on earth that thinks CAD's easy. It is absolutely challenging to use if you've never used it before. But yeah, giving them a device like this that is easy, that's pretty powerful. So pretty cool stuff. So let's flip back to the presentation. Okay, so I already showed you what that looks like. Let's go forward here. Now we have use cases for Zen App Connector. So this is an actual new thing. By show of hands, how many of you guys are ConfigMan administrators? Brilliant. Okay, so I'm going to take a guess. There's probably 5% of you that have heard of the Zen App Connector. Who's heard of it? Good. All right, real simple stuff. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I do have quite a few slides, and hopefully I can show a quick demo. But in theory, what this does is allows us to talk to our Zen App infrastructure farm by extending the SCCM console by a few plugins. These plugins allow us to go ahead and enumerate and talk via PowerShell from our connector all the way to our Zenapp servers and effectively publish applications, whether they're AppV apps, whether they're MSI apps, CAB apps, doesn't matter. But we can publish it from the ConfigMan console. So what does this help us do in terms of a DNA design? Because that's kind of one of the goals about this presentation, was giving you different ways to deliver apps. Again, this is pretty cool because we can take those same AppV apps from the ConfigMan console. When we create something that's called a DT, or we leverage a DT from a CCM, a deployment type. So if you're a ConfigMan admin, you've built your AppV packages, you've built them already for your Windows 7 desktops, your Windows 8 desktops, physical or virtual, probably you can reuse those again for Zenapp, specifically like things like Office and so forth. So what we do is we go through this process of publishing this, and we can actually leverage the same SCCM console and extend the whole team, the whole integration between Citrix and Microsoft by allowing teams that just do SCCM all day, teams that do Zenapp or Zen Desktop all day, and really let them become unified and work together to help achieve a big collaboration of publishing apps. So this is our third version of this product. We've had previous versions that worked on 2007 R2 as well as 2007 as a whole. But effectively, again, what it does is allow us to take any device from any user, whether they're working in the office or it could be remote. Matter of fact, it could even be from this iPad. Doesn't matter for us. And we can extend that whole console and allow that user to publish and access those applications. So again, what does it do for you in terms of simplicity? It's a unification between ConfigMan and Zenapp by allowing us to extend the console to deliver those apps at any given time. Now, what's really cool, it's not like you're just going to go through the process of publishing them and then you got to worry about, well, gosh, do I have maintenance involved? We do a lot of that dirty work for you and make it simpler for you to deliver that application X to user Y, which is really the end goal. That's why you're doing SCCM, not just for Windows patch updates and patch Tuesdays, hopefully. You want to do it for the app stack. So let's look at how this logic works in logic. So I have these deployment types on the right-hand side. This is kind of how we work with SCCM. Now, those deployment types could have been AppV, could have been MSI, could have been CAB for a Windows mobile phone. Doesn't matter. We don't care. But me as an end user, Tony, I have a choice in terms of what device I use because ConfigMan 2012 is pretty different. It follows that user-centric computing model. Now, in a scenario where I've got different machines that are my own, my primary devices, maybe machines that I'm borrowing for the day, I could have a challenge where not every time am I going to get the exact same applications I had on my machine that was my primary versus a loaner that I had. So this is where it becomes really, really cool because we can apply some really interesting logic. And this sort of Boolean query goes through this process of, if I have a machine, let's keep it simple, like a thin client, right? And it's got less than 512 mega RAM, does it make sense for me to slam an Office MSI or CAB or MSI or AppV package to that thin client? Not at all. Not a really good idea. That's the whole reason why it's a thin client. It's doing some sort of Zenapp, Zen Desktop server-based computing scenario. It does make sense for me to deliver it via Zenapp. Absolutely, 100%. But what if I've got another machine that's my primary, the thing I use every day, like using your laptop daily, you log in the main, it's yours, it's got all the certificates, creds, all that good stuff. Now, because I've met these prerequisites and I have this SCCM agent and a Zenapp DT agent, which is what helps us work with SCCM deployed, now I can intelligently say, cool, let's use AppV here in this scenario. This makes sense for these users, let's go and deploy that package that way. So again, if it's my primary device, I can go ahead and deploy via MSI also. The logic between how we publish this is pretty simple. First, we create an application, whatever we want to do it, sequenced through AppV, MSI, doesn't matter. We go through the process of determining where we're going to push or deliver the application to for the target collection. These target collections are the Zenapp servers. And then we target it at users. In the previous versions of this product, it really wasn't user-centric because ConfigMan wasn't user-centric. It was device-based. But because 2012 changed that whole landscape dramatically, we now can say, well, if it's this user's primary machine and Sally logs on, Sally's going to get this sort of application delivered to her on the fly. So the workflow kind of goes like this. I go ahead and log in to the SCCM console. Now, the console goes ahead and it creates the Zen Desktop publication and the DT parameters. So it'll take it, it'll talk to the Zenapp server and figure out what's the best way to deliver this application, whether it's immediately, whether it's through a schedule maintenance time frame, and then the app gets pushed down to those NAP servers on the fly. At the very end, the user logs in their machine, whether it's going through receiver, whether it's going through the SCCM catalog, either way that user can get access to that application. And they can subscribe through it, like I said, through receiver. What's cool about this, even though it is ConfigMan console, the same logic applies. The same icons follow that user. If you publish them for the desktop, boom, they're going to follow that user to the desktop. If you publish them to the start menu, they're going to follow the user to the start menu. Now, it also works if you're a provisioning server administrator with PVS, which is our secret sauce for single image management. The same concept applies here. We install the SCCM agent, we install a DT agent, and we go through this process of publishing the application. So it could have been singles in app servers, it could have been a pool, it could have been with provisioning server, it could have been without. And as we go through the same process, again, the applications get pushed from ConfigMan all the way to XenApp. And then the user launches that application via receiver. So I'm going to try to show a quick demo, if I can, of this one. I will bounce over to my machine. Okay. All right, so I'm remoted here into our Zen Desktop session here in corporate. This may be a little bit slow, so bear with me. There's a long delay, so there's a could be a little bit of a latency in terms of me seeing some of these remote VMs. So it's about triple hops is what I'm doing right now. So right here you can see I've got the ConfigMan console opened up. Now you can see on the left-hand side there's that extension for XenApp. Because we installed our particular MSI, we extended that console. So if you fire up the SCCM console now, you definitely won't see it. But if you install our utility that extends that, this allows us to talk to the XenApp infrastructure. Now I've already picked a particular package that's already installed, and I'm going to go ahead and click Next. Now here I can specify the destination for my distribution point, which is what I have by default. And I'll go through the rest of this publication process. Next, I can specify when I want to push it and so forth, and push it through the software distribution center. So a lot of this stuff is pretty simple stuff. It's just going to go through, take that application, validate it, and then go through the process of pushing it from the ConfigMan console all the way to XenApp server. So if I jump over to here, this folder extension is basically those apps that I pushed from that console all the way over to my XenApp server. So the publishing process is pretty simple. It's almost identical to publishing it in the XenApp console here. So that's another design. So you could have gone to that route of publishing applications straight from SCCM console. Now it does require, of course, SCCM, but what if that's not what you're using? That's where we have another integration here, straight with App V5. Now, this makes sense because a lot of customers I've talked to and architects say, okay, well, I've got these different BUs, and they don't really participate in ConfigMan in this particular organization unit, but they do have an App V5 server. Not a problem. As long as you have the infrastructure set up, we can actually bulk publish from the studio console of Zen Desktop 7 all the way straight to the App V infrastructure using PowerShell, which is really, really impressive. Never before could we do that in the history of Zen Desktop. We can never specifically directly talk to App V natively. We had some third-party integration here and there, but this way we can do it through PowerShell. So in terms of how the normal process is for the design, you've got your components here. Obviously, you have your App V server, your publishing server, and so forth. And then you have your client that's responsible for launching it. Where it's different from the studio perspective is that we actually integrate straight from the broker, again, because the studio runs on that broker controller. And then we have our VDA, and our VDA is our agent that goes on that server, that Windows client VM. Once that VDA is installed, we have the ability to go ahead from our studio and talk directly to the App V console. Now, to do that, we have to leverage the App V SDK. That's the only way we can actually make some of these PowerShell calls from our stance, talking from our infrastructure straight to the App V management server. So I'll kind of go through a couple more of these. So as the studio goes through, we'll call the App V SDK. Broker sends that new push of the App V client from the console all the way straight to that VM, and then it's delivered. So the console extension looks like this. In a screenshot I have here, by default, when you install Zen Desktop 7, there's going to be a function after the configuration that allows you to point directly to your App V infrastructure. All you need to know is your management server, your port and make sure you have appropriate access. That's it. It's that simple to set it up. The logic is pretty simple. So we take Studio and we actually go through a couple technical steps in terms of how PowerShell integrates. We'll launch what's called CTX API Launcher, which allows us to talk and enumerate those local hosted apps and goes through the process of determining what GUIDs are for those apps, sending all of that information around and back to the point where that VDA, when the user logs in, has the ability to go ahead and see these new desktops or see these as hosted applications. Now, what's cool is once that's all done, you can launch it from any UI. You can go from receiver, whether it's Windows 8 native, whether it's the web, if you're using iOS devices, Mac devices, doesn't matter to us. It's just a normal app that we publish, but we publish it using AppV. In terms of the endpoint experience, there's some pretty cool stuff we can do. We can determine if that machine is intelligent enough and if it makes sense to go ahead and run that application as a local AppV app or even as a hosted AppV app with Zen app. So there's some pretty cool stuff that they're working on that actually makes that really, really usable. So let's switch from there and show you what that demo looks like. Okay, so here's my console. And there's my AppV publishing node. So I've already connected to my infrastructure. I've done the dirty work, got it all connected. It's all good to go. So what does the logic look like if I want to publish some apps? So from here, I can go ahead and I can see I have an app catalog already, but I want to actually go through this process of publishing some apps. What does it look like when I go through this? You can see I have some already done here. There's an XML notepad, there's an AppV package, and also another Microsoft app. So let's create an application and see what this looks like. Now at this point, I can select what I want to do at this next screen. But what's pretty cool is it already sees I already have a delivery group. So I'm going to go ahead and select Math, or actually let's select Notepad as our delivery group here. Now, here's where the cool part is, assuming this works, hopefully. Good. It talks to the VDA. The VDA made these calls via PowerShell back to the AppV server, said, fetch me what apps I have access to, what do I see that are either A, natively installed in my master image, or B, part of my AppV infrastructure. Either one of those doesn't matter. We can take either of those apps and publish them right through here. So I can select this AppV sequence app that's available, I could select this one, I could just go through the list and pre-select these in sort of a bulk publishing method. I go through next and finish. Now this process, same PowerShell commands are going back and forth. Let's enumerate those apps, let's make sure we can send them to the AppV client. The AppV client also doesn't even have to be configured and pointing to an AppV infrastructure. It just has to be installed. We do all that messy work for you and tell it where to go fetch it from via PowerShell. So that's pretty cool. If you push out your master image, you forget to point it where the AppV server lives, not a problem. They'll do it for you. So you can see here all those applications enumerated successfully. And if I go back here, I will log off. And let's see if this logs back in here. Give me a second. Any questions so far? Makes sense in terms of what we can do from just straight integration with AppV? Okay, cool. All right, so I'll just show you what that looks like. I'm sorry, Matt, can you repeat that a little bit louder, please? Yes, so the question is, does this mean file type or FTAs are supported? Yes. Yep. FTAs should work. So bear with me one second. Wrong URL. There we go. This will work much better. Now, if everything works correctly, I should see those applications pop up here. Now, unfortunately, I can't launch them because my RDS license expired. So, I'd love to show you me launching them, but it's not going to work. So, I've got to go pick a bow with my friend to get new licenses. So, one of the things you just can't do without licensing. But yeah, so you can see I could go here back to receiver, select, add them, boom, they're there. It's that simple for me to figure out which of those applications I want to publish. Again, another design choice you can choose should you want to go down that route. Okay, let's go to our next session. Now, this is also a prototype sort of code that we're announcing for the first time. It's kind of neat. There's not a lot of actual work that is involved except for just straight up PowerShell. But what this is allowing you to do is publish app icons. So let's say you did your work. You published a bunch of desktops in Studio, and you made a mistake. You had a bunch of app apps, but you didn't point it to the right server. So how do you get the icons to appear without actually going to the app client, forcing it to go and fetch and bring those apps down? Well, with a little bit of work in PowerShell, we can actually use the SDK here that is available for us and available for you, and you can actually run some pretty cool PowerShell scripts from the controller, which is a prerequisite that you have to do. You can't run these from another machine or a VM. They have to be run from the broker because we have some specific Git commands that are part of Zen Desktop only and part of our modules that you have to run it from. So this PowerShell script is executed from the controller. It goes through and will fetch and push icons. That's it, just plain icons right to the desktop. So this is what the command looks like, nice pretty green letters. But it's basically three key commands you have to go through. You want to get broker desktop group. It's going to enumerate everything at the site level, all the desktop groups you have, GUIDs, so forth, UIDs. And then you go through the next process of actually going through and actually publishing and dictating where that particular desktop group is and where it should fetch those icons and push it to. Now, this is not part by default of the Zen Desktop Studio. It's all stuff you have to do to PowerShell. So it's another small design if you want to go down this route and if you want to do all your work from Studio all day long and you don't really want to go to the API server to go through the process of publishing the icons, you can do it from here. So the last demo I've got here is local app access. And hopefully I can try to demo this one, but I don't know if it's going to work. What local app access allows us to do is a very, very niche scenario. And imagine that you have this device here in front of you, and it's a physical machine, and you've remoted into your virtual Zen Desktop session, could be anywhere in the world. But you realize there's one thing that you don't have. And what you don't have are the apps that live on this local hard drive. They're not there. It's impossible for them to follow you into your VDI session. That would just be bad security. But we kind of have some cool stuff that allows us to actually do that in Zen Desktop 7. So think about it this way. You have a CD burner program here, or you have a really, really old legacy version of Office, like Office 2003, for whatever reason. And you have the most archaic database or Excel file you want to get access to, and you know it's not compatible with 2010 with what is being delivered to IT. When you log into your session, there actually will be a little icon on the desktop that says remote machine. You double-click that folder, and you can dive straight into your local apps on your physical endpoint you just came from and execute them in your Zen Desktop session. That's what local app access is about. It's a very niche scenario. Doesn't mean it's meant for everybody. Again, it's another design choice where just for whatever reason, maybe there's just something that lives on that machine that you have to run, you have to execute. That's another way that you can do that. So I can tell you right now that it's unfortunately not working because I'm looking at my iPad and it looks like the policy didn't apply. But I can try to show you that afterwards. If you really want to learn more about it, come see me. I'll be happy to show you more about how that works. So I'm actually going to get done a little bit early in this presentation, which is amazing because I had 75 slides. I spoke pretty fast. But I do have one more thing I want to show you guys that we kind of showed at Synergy, but we didn't really have a lot of time to demonstrate it. And that's Windows Phone 8 Citrix Receiver. Now, this is not out in the store, so you can't go download it. This is a special build that I had to beg and plead and give a lot of money to developers to let me have, but I figured it's worth showing to you right now. So what I'll do is switch back over to here to my machine, and I'm going to wake this up. Everybody see my screen okay? So I'm using a dev viewer from Microsoft Nokia. They were nice enough to let me use this phone so that I could actually show this demo without having to hold up a phone like this, which doesn't work so well. So this actually is logging in. It's connected to wireless. And if all is working, I'm going to go ahead and type in an off code. And let's see if it authenticates. Now, this is, of course, connecting to our corporate infrastructure. So hopefully the Wi-Fi is not too bad here. It was okay in my hotel room, but again, that's different when you leave your hotel room and you go to a conference center. So I've authenticated with two-factor authentication and using our VIP access that we use to authenticate. And if all is good, it should enumerate the application set that's hosted from Zen App and Zen Desktop from Storefront. Now, it may take a little bit of time, again, because I'm connecting through the wireless, but this is something that we're working on. Can't say when it's going to be available, but it's actually code that we're working on just about every day. So it may work, it may not work, because the wireless is so slow, but let's see. We'll try one more time. There we go. Yay, okay. I connected. So you can see I've enumerated my list of apps. I've got a whole ton of stuff here I can launch from. Let's go ahead and do the most simplest one, like Word. Now, again, this may be a little bit of a delay as well going through the public Wi-Fi because I bet you guys are all on it at the moment. But it'll go through, connect to the Zen App server, and basically launch any Windows-based application that I had hosted in my infrastructure. But, of course, I'm doing it from my Windows Phone 8, which is pretty cool. So that does that, but we'll let that one continue to go. And I'm going to actually log into this one here and show you something else. Actually, can you repeat that question? I can't hear you. No. We have receivers for just about anything that turns on. So Android, Windows coming soon, obviously iOS, Crackberries, Blueberries, you name it. The list goes on and on. So let me go ahead and see if we actually can make this work. So let's connect to 8. All right. So this is actually a tablet I have from the Build conference a couple years ago. And it still works from time to time. But I'm going to go ahead and launch it real quick. This also is going through the web, so it may be slightly slow in terms of me connecting to this demo app here. But what's kind of cool about this is I also have another phone here next to me that's another Nokia one. And if that does connect through our Wi-Fi, what I am able to do is actually use NFC. So pretty cool. So think about this. You have a tablet. You have a machine next to you that supports NFC. Wouldn't that be really just freaking cool if you didn't have to authenticate again and you could just roam your session from one device to another? That's effectively one of the cool prototype projects that we're working on. So we actually would be able to NFC one ICA session or one Zen App session from one device to another. That simple. Only thing you need to do is make sure that both devices are configured, pointing to the right storefront, the right website, so forth, and you're pretty much good to go. So, unfortunately, the Wi-Fi is just not cooperating, but if I would connect, you'd see Word launch, and then I could roam it over to here. Okay. Key takeaways. Just for everybody to know, so those of you that are new, again, to Zen Desktop, we support everything in terms of the Microsoft operating system, just about Windows 7, XP 8, 2012, all the things that are new and important that are coming up, as well as soon, Windows Blue and Windows Server 2012 R2. That's stuff we're actively working on with Microsoft. In terms of integration with VMM, I've got some really cool things we're going to show on Thursday session where we're going to go deeper into scalability, stuff that I do all day night. I live, eat, and breathe scalability of Zen Desktop on Hyper-V. So if you want to know how does it work, how can you make it and break it, those are some of the things that we're going to talk about. All right, so by show of hands, who wants a solid-state drive? Oh, come on, man. At least clap or something. Good Lord, man. This comes out of my pocket, man. I'm giving this because I love you guys. This is straight out of my pocket. So we're going to play a cool game. Ken, maybe you can come up here and give me a hand for a second. Ken Staples, if you guys are not familiar with him, Ken's another super genius at Citrix, been around for, I don't know, how long?
Too long.
So what we're going to do is pick four people at random. Keep it real simple, okay? Ken, I'll pick from the left side. Maybe you can pick from the right side. So who wants to win? Raise your hand. I'm just going to pick two people. I'm going to pick you in the green and black shirt, and then I'm going to pick the guy in the black shirt with your phone or something. There you go, right there. Yep, so come on up. Come on up. I'm not going to make it simple. I'm not just going to throw it to you. Nice. Good one.
And, I see two hands waving on the way up. Right, yeah, there you go.
There you go. All right. Come on down. So, guess what?
It's all about motion and right color.
That's right. That's right. Here's what we're going to play. Rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock. So, I hope you played rock, paper, scissors at least. We're not going to play the lizard Spock. We'd be here for hours. It would just take forever. So if you can go over where Ken's at over on his side. This is a pretty simple process. Here's how it's going to go. You get one shot. So it's going to be a heads-off competition. You two will go against each other. You two will go against each other. You can only use rock, paper, scissor gesture one time. You cannot repeat the gesture twice. So you need to be kind of logical and think about what you're going to do because you got a 1 out of 3 chance of using the right one. Okay, so I'm going to go first with my side, Ken. I did. All right, so between you two, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go like this. This is kind of a practice. I'll say rock, paper, scissors, and then you go.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Rock, paper, scissors. Gotcha. Okay, you're in the finals. Your turn.
Okay,
so you make either a gesture of a rock, scissor, or a paper. But you got to pick one of the three the first time out. Ready? One, two, three.
One, two, three.
Okay. All right, final between you two. And the winner takes this. Yep, whoever wins between you two gets this. Thought it'd make it fun. Are you ready on the count of three?
Yep.
Okay. Rock, paper.
Two, three.
There you go. Congratulations. Okay, so Q&A. Again, related content. There are some really, really good AFI sequencing classes if you're super wanting to know more about it. Some of my friends are working on that session. Really great content. Highly recommend you attend it. If you want to learn scalability, come see me on Thursday. I'll tell you how it all works. Please file your value. What's that? Did I mess that up? Oh my gosh. You get enough, then I'll give you one. You win, so I'll give you one too. That was my fault, so you win automatically. It's all right. I'll give you it after the session.
Okay,
I've got an extra one. All right, so please fill out your evaluations. Let me know what you think, good, bad, ugly. Of course, I'm not a rock, paper, scissors expert. That's why I had Ken. So thanks, guys.